Hello, my name is Lawrence Wolf. Welcome back to our video study through the book of Hebrews. As we enter chapter 4 this week, we continue on this theme of a rest for God's people. But the chapter begins with a pretty serious warning. Verse 1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So we see a lot of things taking place here. The promise of entering into God's rest still stands, he says. So at the end of chapter 3, we had seen this promise of entering into rest for the Jewish people, going all the way back to the books of Exodus and Numbers in the Old Testament. That rest that they were promised was entering into the promised land, the physical land that God had promised to their people. Whereas now, he tells us that the promise of entering into God's rest still stands. So we see clearly this rest refers to something beyond just a physical promised land. Because we as Christians now, these Hebrew believers in the first century even, who were the original recipients of this letter, they could not say that they were promised that specific land and that that was what they were awaiting. So this promise of rest still stands. But he says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So what is it that we are going to reach? What is this rest that is promised? Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. Notice in back in verse 2 it said, they, the ones who heard the message in the Old Testament, were not benefited because they did not unite. Their faith was not united with the message. But we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So we who have believed in Christ will enter into this rest that he is talking about. So this is a clear reference to at the end of this life, entering into rest, the rest of God, heaven, a perfect relationship with God, perfect peace and harmony. And to prove this, he gives the example of God at the beginning of the world. He created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. Verse 4, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So God, who obviously does not need to rest, rested on the seventh day, first of all, to establish a pattern for us as human beings that we should rest, and this the Jewish people had established for them in their law as the Sabbath, to take their seventh day of the week to rest and focus on God, to rest in his goodness, to rest in what he has done. And he also rested because he had completed what he was doing, right? Think about your work day. When you rest when you have finished all of the work, when it's done, when you are satisfied with the job that you have done, when the work is completed. God creates the world in 6 days. In Genesis chapter 1, at the very end, he says that it was very good. So everything's perfect, God says. Now, I've added everything that needs to be added. It is perfect. And so then it tells us in chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2 in Genesis, that God rested from all of his work. It was perfect. There's nothing else to do. So he's like, all right, stepping back, I'm done. Of course, we know that human sin broke that rest, because now there was more work that needed to be done, because our sin corrupted God's perfect work. So just as God rested when the work was completed, we now as Christians can rest only because Jesus has completed all of the necessary work now. Since that point, sin entered into the world. Jesus has come in. He has lived the perfect life. He has died for our sins. He has made it possible that we can rest in God, rest in Christ's work. But again, in verse 5, in this passage, he said, "They shall not enter my rest." Speaking, of course, again about the ancient Israelites, because of their lack of faith, they were not able to enter into all that God had promised to give them. So, verse 6, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it," God's rest, "and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience," again he appoints a certain day, today, right? We've seen that word coming up a lot in these last couple of chapters. Today, since those who before could not enter in because of their disobedience, God sets another time and says, today. So what is this today thing about? When was that? Well, he says, saying through David so long afterward, and the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." There's that quote we keep seeing, which comes from Psalm 95 that was written during the lifetime of David. So clearly, even though all of these events we're describing originally happened in Numbers 14 and 15 when the Israelites refused to enter into the promised land, they did not believe God's good promises for them, they disobeyed, they rebelled, but then again he says, today, in Psalm 95, hundreds of years after the fact, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." What that tells us is that God was still offering people the opportunity to enter into that rest. Just because the Jews, the original Israelites, refused to enter into that rest, did not mean that God stopped offering it. It continued to be offered all the way up to the time of David. That means it continues to be offered all the way up to the time of our lives. And this is confirmed in the next few verses. Verse 8, "Where if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on." So, of course, Joshua took over after Moses died and led the people into the promised land, into a conquest of Canaan. They went out, they conquered all their enemies, they had the promised land. But he says, look, if Joshua had given them the ultimate prize, if that was the rest, that now everything's finished, we've done all the work and we can rest in God, then why is God hundreds of years later saying, today, listen to his voice so that you can enter his rest? So then, verse 9, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." There is something yet to come, which we still have not seen fulfilled in terms of our ability to rest in God, because there's still work to be done. Verse 10, "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his." Now let me clarify once again. There is nothing in this passage that is suggesting that a person who is saved, who has believed in Christ, can lose their salvation. There is also nothing in this passage when I say there is work to be done. There's nothing that I'm saying that the work is for you to do in order to earn your salvation or to earn your standing with God, to earn this rest. It is simply to be stated that the warning here is against falling into the same patterns of unbelief or disobedience that we see taking place in the lives of the ancient Israelites, both in the time of Moses, in the time of Joshua, in the time of David, that this doubt would come back in and creep into our minds of wondering, am I, is Jesus good enough? Is what God has done good enough to cleanse me wholly of my sin? Or is there something left for me to do? Is there some other pathway that would be easier? As these Hebrews struggle with this problem, the author of Hebrews is trying to remind them of how incredibly great Jesus is, right? Think of this. God created the world in 6 days and it was perfect, and so he rested. We messed it up. Humans sinned and corrupted this perfect world, so there was work to do. Jesus accomplished it. There was never any request on behalf of human beings that they would do the work that was necessary to restore everything, only that they would believe, right? Let's go back to verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4. For good news came to us about God offering salvation, just like to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. All that is necessary is faith in Jesus. There is no more work for you to do. The work has been accomplished by God already, and the work that still remains will be accomplished by God. It is only for us to place our faith in God Himself. So, as we're going to see in the next part of chapter 4, the author calls us to enter into that rest. Stop with all of the work that you are trying to do to earn yourself a place, and realize that all that is being asked of you is to believe in Jesus and Him alone. Believe in Christ and Him alone. Rest in God. Don't say to yourself that you must do the work and finish the job before you can rest. The work has been, is being done, and will be done for you. Rest in what God is doing. I hope and pray that something said here today ministers to your hearts, and I hope that you share it with everyone you encounter. Thank you, and God bless.